We're here for another week of Raiders Rambles. I am not Jolt. Jolt is off on some kind of adventure. And we're all taking his place because we love him very much. Anyhows, today I am joined with one of our good friends, Avera, and one of our other good friends, Noble. How you doing, Avera?
I'm doing just fantabulous. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this incredible episode tonight. Yes, as our humble host, Inu, said, Jolt is on some adventure at the moment, and we're just trudging on through.
Yeah. Noble, how you doing, man?
Well, I think I'm awake. It's good old 10 p.m. here, so, you know.
Well, we've got exciting topics today. Amazon. Yeah, let's just jump right into it.
Yeah, let's just get right into it. Let's What's going on with Amazon?
Let's see if I can do this. Screen share. There we go.
All right, so this is actually a very creepy article.
Yeah. The left can't stand Tolkien's Christian-influenced Lord of the Rings, so Amazon is giving it a Game of Thrones makeover. What better way for the left to undermine Tolkien's message than to regiment his stories with secular terms? Amazon Prime's Lord of the Rings series, set to release in 2021, has been eagerly anticipated by devoted Lord of the Rings fans around the world. The $1 billion series will be set in the Second Age of Middle-earth, which spans 3,441 years before the events of Lord of the Rings movies. Unfortunately, it looks like the creators of the series, which claim is based on J.R.R. Tolkien's original work, maybe trying to intimidate, trying to emanate Game of Thrones type nudity and rapey storyline.
Oh,
this crap. No doubt will be the delight of the left, who have been long detested Tolkien's writings and distinctive Christian influence on popular culture.
Well, so what? They're literally going to try to change the storyline of Lord of the Rings to make it more, how you say, nudity and Game of Thrones like, and the priest storylines.
Yeah, let's take the Lord of the Rings, because that's what we do to everything. We took Star Wars, we took all the things, and we just made them way worse. So let's take this one and put a Game of Thrones spin on it, where there's nudity, there's sex, there's quote-unquote rapey stuff happening right there.
I guess, but if they're trying to take a secular approach, that's just not appropriate. Like, when it comes to, you know, Tolkien's work, it was based on Christianity. Like, there was, you know, demons and angels, you know, like the Maiar spirits, like what Sauron was. He was basically a fallen angel, you know, like a demon. And, you know, yeah, the forces of good and evil, like, that's just the root of it. And what, so they're going to make some gray area? Like, what are they actually trying to do here? Oh, please don't ruin it. Oh, God, I hope not.
Amazon Studios heads Uncharted Carnal Waters with casting call for nudity and an intimacy coordinator.
Oh, wait. Scroll up a little bit. It says, Amazon is apparently trying to make Lord of the Rings more adult with sex scenes. Okay. Here's the thing about Lord of the Rings. Do you know how many frickin' wars there were? How many orcs and elves and humans and dwarves died? Is that not adult enough for you? Like, really? How? How is it not?
I've watched Lord of the Rings, and granted, it might not be exactly child material because of the slight violence and witchcraft and whatnot. You know, if you want to protect your 10-year-old from seeing that, I can totally see that.
Dude, there's a lot of violence in Lord of the Rings. Like, it's literally like a war. Like, people die all the time.
Actually, it was mostly peaceful violence.
yes, of course. Of course. No, Sauron the Benevolent.
But it, how adult do you want to get? I mean, there's times when you want to watch a movie and you don't want to be distracted by, you know, sex scenes and rape culture things. And
yeah, exactly. You know, and you know when they had the romance between Aragorn and Arwen, they did that very smoothly. You know, it was tasteful. It was fine. You know, it was just like, you know, you saw their connection, their bond, but it didn't have to get into the raunchy stuff. You know, like you kind of just got it.
I'll be honest with you. That's why I stayed away from Game of Thrones.
Yeah, like, well, they use that stuff as like some, I guess, like an audience grabber or some kind of like, I guess clickbaity might not be the right term, but well, you know what I mean.
Enticing to some.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
But yeah, I stayed away from Game of Thrones because of all the nudity in it. Not my thing. I want to focus on a story. And when I watched Lord of the Rings, I was like, thank goodness. It's awesome. I would go as far as saying you can watch it in front of your family.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You know, even though all the violence, you can watch it in front of your family.
Yeah, it's you're absolutely right. Look, I think, God, when was the first time I saw it? It was a very long time ago. Probably like when it first came out. Yeah, I was young at the time. And yeah, I saw the wars and, you know, people with swords, you know, fighting against the orcs and all that. But there wasn't any explicit sex scenes or anything like that. No incest or whatever the hell Game of Thrones does. I don't even know. But no, it was just a fun adventure. And yeah, it was great.
As Platt pointed out, the left wins political battles through to the domination of institutions of professors, cultures, and receives thought. The social conservatism of Middle Earth is one of a few things in pop culture that is, and I can't say that word, to the left's worldviews and goals. Naturally, then, the left has employed their usual tactics to take down Tolkien and his legendarium, pronouncing the Lord of the Rings racist, sexist, and non-inclusive LGBTQ plus people.
What?
Yeah.
Are you for real? It's not inclusive enough, and it's racist and sexist and all that stupid crap. Really? Dude, it's a freaking fantasy world. It's like the medieval ages with magic and wizards and dragons and shit. Why the fuck? No, this.
Yeah.
No, that's stupid. This is stupid.
Hollywood realized they could not ignore Tolkien's popularity. They recently released a film about his life that totally ignored his Catholic faith, which profoundly influenced his work and disregarded his conservative and political social views. Jesus Christ, Amazon, really?
Oh, man, they're going to ruin this.
Rest in pieces.
They're probably going to make Gandalf gay or something.
Could they make him gayer? Could they?
I don't know. Wait, isn't he gay in real life? Yeah, pretty sure he is.
Yeah, I thought he died. Well, wait, is that like a Mandela effect? Did he die or is he still alive?
No, no, he's still alive, I think. But, like, Sir Ian McKellen. Yeah, he actually is gay in real life. I'm pretty sure he is.
Yeah.
But, like, if they get their way, they're going to literally make Gandalf and, like, Radagast the Brown a couple. I swear. Like, they're totally going to do it. How bonkers would that be? Oh, if Gandalf was like, oh, here's my new boyfriend, and it's like Radagast the Brown coming out of the woods.
There, wait. Oh, hold on. There's Gandalf the White, Gandalf the Gray, Gandalf the whatever, Gandalf the Rainbow. Why not?
Oh, funny thing about that, there also is Saruman of many colors. No, I swear to God, after he renounced his position of the leader of the White Council, or the leader of the Istari, like the wizards, he became Saruman of many colors. And in the books, it described his robes as shimmering with multiple colors of, like, the rainbow.
Oh my goodness.
So I wonder if they're gonna...
So...
Hold on. It's LEDs in it.
What is so terrible about the Lord of the Rings? What is the driving force behind changing something that, from what I understand, is a good franchise to a franchise that literally pissed off, what, like 90% of the audience?
Didn't
because
piss
Game
me
of
off.
Thrones last season pissed the internet off so much that it drove people crazy.
Yeah. Like I said, I've never even seen Game of Thrones, and yet I saw all of the backlash on social media. Everyone's like, oh, fuck season 8. Like, that's just terrible. Oh my, how could you do this? And all this nonsense.
My mom watched all of the Game of Thrones, and whenever she was waiting for the new season, it was like almost a year between seasons, she'd watch the entire 3 seasons that happened before that. She'd watch that all over again. So whenever she was watching it in the living room downstairs, I could not be there. I need to come upstairs. I can't be in there while watching Peter, what's his name, and the other one, and they're naked, and they're in front of the king, and they're... I can't do this. But even she said, it's like the last final season finale, they angered everybody because they wasn't even trying. They just, wow, there was zero thoughts on this. There was no way to end it. There was a million ways to end it. And you went brain dead.
So here's what I'm trying to work out. Why take a franchise that was horribly successful, like Lord of the Rings? I mean, shit, they could have re-released a new Blu-ray box set and still made a ton of money. Why do they want to invest in the idea about taking what Game of Thrones did? I'm sorry, are you trying to glorify the idea of rape and murder?
Well, originally Game of Thrones was very successful in like the first few seasons or so. But there was that appeal of it being, you know, kind of edgy and raunchy and stuff. But, like, that was its own story. That's not what's happening in Lord of the Rings. Like, it's completely different. You can't just add that kind of stuff to that. And, you know, warp around Tolkien's legendarium in that same type of manner. That just doesn't make a lot of sense. I don't know, like, am I wrong? Like, it's just not comparable.
I'm going to go to live comments, if that's cool.
Oh, by all means. Right on. Let us do.
Rainbows and wizards doesn't necessarily make them gay. Take a look at... Forgotten Realms. He's got so many colors in his robes. Yeah.
Okay. Yes, that's a very good point. Now, I didn't insinuate that. I said, you know, because Saruman became Saruman of many colors, SJWs might want to be like, well, you know, like we said earlier, changing the whole storyline. I was a little bit hyperbolic, but, you know.
No. We were poking fun at it because not only is he gay in real life, let's make him gay in a movie also. Because non-inclusive LGBTQ plus colors, shapes, and things. Let's put him in a rainbow robe.
Yeah, right? But, like, it doesn't matter, though. Like, who cares if there's not enough gay people in this movie. Well, why does there have to be? Like, does that have anything relevance to do with the story? No, it doesn't. No. He's a freaking wizard. All right, he does magic. He's an immortal being. He helps the world.
Be careful the way you say he's a wizard, because, you know, some might take that as white supremacy now.
Oh, God. Well, I mean, if I said he's a grand wizard,
Oh, my God. You can't win. You just cannot win. Don't even try it, because no matter what you say, no matter what they say, no matter how epic something is, it's going to be destroyed by them.
Yeah, unfortunately. Well, okay.
Yeah, and about them, I'm talking about people like the Anti-Defamation League. You see how I made that little transfer into the next story?
Oh, yeah. Those morons think the OK sign is a sign of white supreme or some bullshit.
So, let's see. You're not allowed to be violent in the movies, you know, to watch a scene where 1,000 of these orcs and giants, and on the other side there's 1,000 wizards and people, and they're gonna fight in the middle of a valley somewhere in a Middle Earth. Well, we're not allowed to watch that because it's dangerous. It's detrimental to our children. Well, all right. Let the children play video games.
Oh, yeah. But, like, sex and rape culture is totally fine, though, right? That's all well and good. Sure.
Especially that movie that we're not going to mention that was on Netflix and all the rage that everybody should not watch. Don't even click on it.
Oh, please don't make me
vomit. Don't. I'm not even going to say the name of the movie just not to give them the satisfaction that we plugged it.
Oh, we all know.
That's perfectly fine. Everybody's perfectly fine with that, right?
They shouldn't be.
Okay.
Anyways, perhaps I should move on to the next topic then. I don't even want to think about that anymore.
Alrighty then. Well, what do we have here? Electronic Arts, Ubisoft, more join the ADL to push social justice and combat right-wing extremism in gaming. Whee!
Yeah, but aren't they the right-wing extremists?
I would love to know their definition of a right-wing extremist. I'd love to know.
Well, let's have a little look here.
All right.
And I'll try to read, but, you know, I got a little stutter. Electronic Arts and other big gaming or tech companies have teamed up with the Anti-Defamation League to combat purported right-wing extremism and push social justice within gaming. Both EA and the ADL are pledging to fight right-wing extremism in gaming with a new proclamation via the German branch of EA and their PR director, Martin Lorber, via the Postmillennial earlier this year. Electronic Arts Germany and the German government are teaming up with Good Gaming, Well Played Democracy, and Keenan Pixel on No Pixels are Fascists, to reportedly prevent gamers from being radicalized into neo-Nazis.
Really? So, okay, they actually think that, like, neo-Nazis are everywhere? No. You know what that is? That's just bullshit censorship. Anyone who doesn't, you know, who makes an edgy joke or something like that, oh, you're a Nazi! You're one of them white supremes! Oh, no! Oh, boy. They're everywhere. They're all over the damn place. Really? I have yet to meet an actual fucking Nazi ever. No. Stop this nonsense. It's just more censorship.
You've got your edgy people. They have childish minds, and they like to post. They like to post the Nazi shit.
Yeah, whatever. And you know what though? Sometimes racist jokes are pretty damn funny. You ever watch Family Guy? My goodness gracious!
Yeah.
Absolutely hilarious.
That's why it was number one.
Hold on. What about the original Xbox Network? The amount of comments that people were posting. These were kids. Screwing around, trying to make them, you know, trying to get some attention, literally getting themselves banned because they were acting like a bloody idiot. Most of the time, these comments are not made by people who are actual Nazis, but are people who are just trying to stir up some trouble.
Well, that 13-year-old who made an edgy joke, he's absolutely a neo-Nazi, and he loves Hitler and all of that crap, and they're everywhere. Evil, evil, bad, bad. Oh, boy.
Well,
right-wing nonsense. Come on.
The nonprofit Games for Change revealed their adversary board recently, and it includes, once again, the ADL, Facebook, Google, Microsoft, EA, Ubisoft, and more. Their goal is to make to create a, quote-unquote, more diverse, inclusive and positive online environment for youth, while also fighting hate speech and other forms of toxicity.
Oh my god, this is the most like SJW vomit worthy article ever,
right?
Fighting toxicity, shut the hell up, get out of here.
Okay,
gamers will be gamers, all right?
Why not try to focus more on saying don't type something that you wouldn't say to a person, to a person's face. Sorry.
Yeah.
Or how about just enjoy the games and just, who cares?
Just out of, here's the thing. So it's like me turning around and saying, Avira, you're a fucking cunt. Saying that, typing that, people will do that all the time. Whereas saying it to your face, most likely not. Most people you see online typing all this weird stuff, they won't say that sort of stuff because it's wrong.
Yeah, but at the same time, a lot of it is in jest. You know, like, if you actually thought that about me, yeah, that would be pretty hurtful. I mean, to be honest, I could be a fucking cunt sometimes. But, but like, you know, I'm not going to get all offended and be like, oh, I have to go report this. I'm so offended. I mean, I don't fucking care. I mean, people say whatever the hell they want to online. Who cares, well, guys, man?
It's just attention seeking.
Yeah.
That's it.
Here's the thing. This is my understanding. I could be right. I could be wrong. I could be somewhere in the middle. I'm under the impression that saying harmful things like that is a part of the game. It's called shit-talking your opponent. So when you're in Counter-Strike and you're shooting the terrorists and the terrorists are shooting back at you, instead of saying, I'm gonna take care of you, terrorist. No. Hey, terrorist. Hey, how you doing? You know, yeah, come here, have a cup of tea. Let's talk this over and settle this like peaceful people. No, you shit talk them and you kill them.
Like what David Duchovny did in Evolution, where he pulled his pants down and pressed his butt cheeks up against the up against the front windshield of the vehicle as he was driving off.
Exactly.
I mean, that's
wow.
That's just childish. That is really, really childish.
It's childish, but it's damn hilarious. Like that. I know, that's really funny, though.
Still, it's not something a person would normally do. I mean, they'd just turn around and give them the finger.
I mean, like, yeah, but of course, it's in a game. I mean, come on, it's not real life.
If you're in a game, though, people are basically going to turn around and take a shit on stage in front of the enemy when they can't shoot them. Just for shits and giggles.
Oh, God. Do some games actually do that?
But I mean, when you...
No, just as an example about people shit-talking the enemy.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, fuck the enemy. Who cares?
You shit talk your opponent. You don't invite them in for a cup of tea to ask them to stop doing the bad, nasty, toxic masculinity things that they're doing. No, you shit talk them. You scream at them and you shoot them in the face. That's what the game is.
All right, so
let's... You know what? Even something as simple as the little video game that I play, the Super Animals. You throw a banana at them and you kill them.
All right, so let's read on with this little article here. We have, they added, no systematic work at scale has been done to understand, document, and synthesize anti-racism, anti-hate, and harassment, anti-toxicity, and pro-social efforts across gaming communities. This basically echoes the same mantra as no pixels. Really? What? You know, this kind of reminds me of a story we talked about a few weeks ago where people got offended about orcs because they thought that they looked like a particular type of group of people.
Oh.
Yeah. You remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
But, like, here's the thing. Who's the actual racist? The ones who just enjoy the game, playing, you know, fighting against orcs? Or the ones who look at orcs and be like, that reminds me of a particular race. That's offensive. I wonder. No.
Playable they're folk.
They're fantasy creatures. They're not humans. Why in the bonkers are people doing this? It's crazy.
Well, I mean, this is why they're doing it, the very next little paragraph here.
Oh yeah,
Games
go on.
Games for Change published their latest brochure, which suggests gaming culture is exclusionary and discriminatory, reproducing and encoding systems of bias and inequities that pervade society as a whole. Their goal is to use gamers as video games as important and potentially powerful tools for achieving broader goals of social justice. So we're tools now. We're being used.
Wow.
One thing before we continue a little bit further is I like this right here. Niche Gamer. Our take. Niche Gamer has existed as a nonpartisan gaming and tech website producing content that simply tells you what is worth checking out. We have always been against censorship of any kind. We have always ensured our community is welcome to all, regardless of your beliefs or politics. Oh my God. If you care about free speech and creative freedom in gaming, you should let Electronic Arts and Ubisoft and more know it cannot be allowed and that gaming is a welcoming space. You know what? Most people are like, we support BLM, we support LGBT, we support the Antifa. I like because Niche Gamers put that little thing in there. It's like, regardless of your beliefs in politics.
Okay, so this article was not written by them. It was written by someone else that they posted it on their website. I'm hoping.
Right.
That does seem to be the case. That's probably why they said that.
That's what it looks like. Does it say?
I mean, whoever wrote this is definitely freaking biased. My goodness.
Well, I mean, they usually, the people who write this kind of stuff and go to the ADL, they usually quiver at the sight of this little Pepe Frog.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wait a minute. Isn't Pepe the Frog also considered like some hate symbol or some stupid crap like that? I think it is. Yeah, right?
It could be Niche Gamer who wrote this.
Okay.
Oh, no, hold on. By Niche Gamer staff. On October 12th, yep.
Oh,
Niche Gaming.
No.
wrote this.
That's, well, now my hopes were just given up. Oof.
No. Here's their saving.
That's their take, but.
Here's their saving thing. You should let EA, Ubisoft, and blah, blah, blah know that this cannot be allowed and that gaming is a welcoming space. So they're like, no censorship. Stop it. Don't put the ABL to censor us.
Well, if they think every damn 12-year-old making edgy jokes is a freaking Nazi.
That is the ABL that is not niche gamer.
Yeah, the ADL is nuts.
Oh, the okay sign. How about the try the oh shit, what was it called? From Zelda.
Triforce?
Yes, the Triforce. That is a KKK in disguise, don't you know?
Wait, really? What? No. That's not true.
Yeah. Go to the ADL website, it's all there.
The Triforce is a
the
KKK.
Triforce Jesus. Looks like a KKK to them.
Oh my goodness. How can anyone with a single brain cell take the ADL seriously if they actually believe that crap?
What was I talking about in Telegram earlier? People are just getting dumber by every year. They're just, how is this happening?
Pepe the Frog is not a racist symbol. What the heck?
But, I mean, you can't have a nice thing like Lord of the Rings, and you can't have shit talking in games anymore now. No, it's racist.
To who? To actually frickin' who? Who is offended by all this nonsense?
People who lose at the game? They keep killing me. I keep losing. They won't let me win. I don't know.
They're probably the same people who lose in real life.
Shots fired for real? No.
and then they become Karens.
Oh my god.
And that's what happens. It's an endless cycle of badness.
Abe, I hope you're wearing a mask right now. No.
Does a fursuit head count as a mask? Sure. Why not?
I need to speak with your manager. All right. Live comments. Do we have any? Not taunting your enemy so they quit and lose manpower.
Yo, Volk, that's a cool icon. Right on.
What else? I'd like to know that too. Where did Pepe come from anyway?
I think it came from 4chan. Yeah, I'm pretty sure Pepe was like a 4chan thing. It was actually like an older meme, as far as I know. And it was like repurposed to like troll the left or something.
Ah, okay.
It may have originated from Crazy Frog as well.
Oh god, the
oh, maybe, yeah.
I'm going to stop now before we get a copyright strike again.
Okay. Well, is it really that old? Man, I don't know.
It might be.
It could be, yeah.
Could be.
Like an animated version of Crazy Frog. I don't know. You know what I find really crazy? Do you remember the whole Clown World meme? Well, if you posted those two emojis of clown and world on Twitter, you get banned.
What? Are you serious?
Yeah. Really? Yeah, don't do it. They would ban you for that. They also would ban people that made NPC accounts. You know, like NPC number, whatever the heck.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you did any of those two things, Twitter would ban you. They're banning memes, dude. It's nuts.
I think that those people just can't meme. They don't know how to laugh. They've lost their sense of humor.
Yeah, right? And that's the whole idea with the last article we just talked about. No, they just don't get edgy jokes. They call people Nazis and white supremes and national, all this nonsense.
All of the bad words.
Yeah, all of the isps, all of the isms, all of the phobes, all of the whatever you name it. Like, how stupid.
Phobismist. Yeah, phobismist. There you go.
Yeah, that. I mean, yeah, dude, like, come on. That's crazy. It's like, you can't even have fun anymore.
Nope.
And when I say fun, I just mean like, you know, making jokes and stuff and just, you know, having a good laugh at whatever.
I think most of the time people just don't understand social constructs. I mean, as a kid myself, I barely understood half the shit that was going on around me. And unfortunately, nowadays, people aren't taught to, well, you know, this is how people are normally. And instead, they start freaking out and want to build each other with whatever they can grab their hands on. Like, well, basically feral animals. Right. And when I say feral animals, I mean animals that were semi-domesticated for a little while and they got out in the wild and will, you know, become very dangerous towards people because they're not that afraid.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, so like raccoons and stuff?
No, I'm more considering something more Australian. Dingoes, for instance. The ones that aren't really afraid of people have a tendency of, well, attacking them. And occasionally
okay.
You do see there are people are attacked by dingoes.
You ever see that documentary, Dingo Ate My Baby?
Yeah, that's not a laughing matter. That actually did happen.
Yeah, it actually did. Yeah, that was pretty messed up.
Yeah,
I didn't know anything about that. I thought it was something from Seinfeld.
Oh, no. It's real. Yeah, man, that happened.
The parents of the kid were in trouble for a very long, long time until someone on their deathbed came up and said, yeah, no, we actually found a baby's clothing. We found a baby in the jaws of a dingo.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, those stupid dickheads. They could have solved so much stress from that poor family. But no, they just go bury the kid's body in the damn desert, assholes.
Oh, man, that sounds like... it almost sounds like the township that I used to live in. I used to live right across the street from New York City, from Manhattan.
Yeah.
But I was on the Jersey side. And we had a real problem with pigeons, so they released a hawk to eat the pigeons. The hawk finished off all the pigeons, then started eating the possums and the squirrels. And when it finished eating those, it started swooping down and trying to grab babies out of carriages.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, So their final solution was a loudspeaker system throughout downtown playing the sounds of a bigger bird that the hawk fears.
Like an eagle?
Something. I don't know, but that scared the hawk to go into New York City and, oh, it's your fucking problem now.
One hawk did that?
One hawk to eat all the pigeons, and then it ate the squirrels, and then it started trying to go after babies.
What the heck? That's a badass hawk.
With
I'm not gonna lie, that's pretty damn cool.
With firearms so readily available, why didn't they just shoot the bird? I mean, it's just one bird.
You're talking about New York City and the state of New Jersey, two of the biggest anti-gun people ever.
Well, we're anti-gun here in Australia, and you still have people who can turn around and just blow animals out of the sky.
Yeah, but like that, you're also talking about like the hawk. that literally caused such a big problem in an entire state. Like, that's pretty damn cool.
It's probably in an endangered species list, and PETA came out and, you know, held a mostly peaceful protest. Don't kill the bird!
Oh, God, not that group.
Yeah, PETA.
I've dealt with people who unfortunately are members of PETA. They had a husky, morbidly obese, and they refused to take it for a walk. I discovered the actual dog loves going for walks. It just has a tendency to freak the hell out. It also seems to really like water since it just walked into the water, stood there, and just panted for a good 10 minutes before it's like, yeah, now I'm ready to go.
Aww.
Yeah, isn't PETA the same organization that, like, had a human barbecue at one point?
I'm not sure, but I know in Australia we had vegans doing that.
Oh, yeah, maybe I'm thinking of something else.
But no, PETA's known also for basically slaughtering animals left, right, and center, mostly dogs and cats.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, well, they have entire shelters where they,
They freeze them.
They kill them.
Stick them into a freezer.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Well, they call it humane.
Oh, God.
Freezing to death is not humane.
That's what PETA says. No, it's not painful, right? They just go to sleep and freeze to death.
Obviously, those people have never been in the cold before then.
They're crazy. I don't know what else to say.
I don't know about PETA, of like other branches of PETA around the world or around America, but I know PETA in the state of California. When I was living in California, a truck, you know, like a Penske truck or a U-Haul truck, tipped over and it was filled with fish that was going to the market. So the fish spilled all over the exit ramp of the highway. PETA held a rally to close that exit ramp for the rest of life to be a memorial to all the fish that died there.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Were they alive, fish?
No, they were all frozen. There was fish and ice all over the highway off-ramp.
Okay, so they were already dead, and the truck happened to spill out a bunch of food, and they made it a memorial for the fish.
I want to say the truck, as it was slowing down to the traffic light, the front tire blew out, and the truck kind of done a nosedive and tipped over.
Okay.
I think we may have gotten a little off topic right now. But
Oh, yeah, sorry.
We can talk about vegans and PETA all day long.
I forgot we were on the air.
No, that's just a weird thing. Like, my goodness, PETA, what are you doing with them fish memorials? Anyways.
It's on the off-ramp forever because it's a memorial to all the fish that died.
Yeah, that makes all kinds of sense. Yeah, sure. Why not?
So, anyways, we've got one more story to talk about. And this is one that you came up with, Vera, and I really got a laugh out of this one. Disney is now a streaming company.
This is very interesting. Now, as I'm sure you guys know, Disney has lost quite a bit of money. Actually, their stock has been plummeting in the last couple of months. Of course, you know, we had the Mulan flop. But now they're completely... Yeah, exactly. Well, and pander to China, get broke.
No, they're not pandering. They're bending over and handing them a giant dildo that they have floating around.
I mean, yeah, you're not wrong. But what happened with Disney was not only did they completely mess up with Mulan, but the pandemic caused all of their amusement parks, their cruises, movie theaters, everything to shut down. and they are losing a absolute boatload of money. And so now they're not going through the middleman anymore. In fact, they're not even going to want to go to theaters. Now they're just going to do streaming. They're relying on Disney Plus, which, by the way, has over 100 million subscribers. Can you believe that?
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, well, what do you expect when people have access to things like, Star Wars?
Well, yeah, that's another Marvel thing they completely messed up. Yeah, but Disney owns Marvel, Star Wars, Fox. Like, who knows what the heck else? Like, they got their pockets and everything.
Well, I mean, let's read up a little bit.
Okay.
Disney had no streaming platforms 3 years ago. Today, its business revolves around them. Yesterday, the company... when was this? This was October 13th. So, all right. Yesterday, the company announced that strategic reorganization to further prop its streaming services, Disney Plus, ESPN, and Hulu. Effective immediately, Disney will separate content creation from distribution. Each content group, studios like Marvel, Lucasfilm, Pixar, and others, sports like ESPN, and general entertainment, television networks and studios, will now produce content for streaming in addition to theaters and traditional television. A distinct distribution team, did I say that right? Yeah, a distinct distribution team will be tasked with figuring out the best way to monetize all of this content. In effect, Disney's various teams will soon funnel a lot more content to its streaming services.
As we go on, it says, what we want to do is separate out the folks who make our wonderful content from the decision-making in terms of how it gets commercialized into the markets, Disney CEO Bob Chapek said on CNBC yesterday. We want to leave that to a group of folks who can really see objectively across all the constituents that we have and make the optimal decision for the company, as opposed to having it be predetermined that a movie destined for theaters or that a TV show is
destined for ABC.
Yes, destined for ABC. So this is very interesting. If you understand like what they're trying to do, you guys remember Netflix, what they used to be, where you would
DVD part or
yeah, way back in the day, like you would call up Netflix and you'd order a DVD. And it would take a couple days to get, like you'd rent it and you have to return it. But now, Netflix is a streaming service, one of the largest in the world. But now Disney is trying to get in on that market. And as the article said, 3 years ago, that was not the case.
Oh, here's what I see Disney doing. Their old way of doing things because of 2020 basically came crashing down. The shit that they've been pulling the last couple of years with trying to make themselves appeal to the screeching crowd has also, well, kind of buried their finances, something shocking. So now they're taking whatever they have that they can make money from and, well, trying to make money from it still. That's it.
Didn't Disney have to close parts of their park because it was an epic fail because of all their wokeness?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they had to stop entire projects for a lot of their amusement parks, especially Star Wars.
Zero interest because, let me see, you took a steaming pile dump all over Star Wars and everybody who loves Star Wars to pander to a couple of people. Never mind 30 or 40 years of people, of fans of comic books and movies and toys and collectibles No. We don't care about you. We need to make it more inclusive of everybody else and change everybody else, because everybody is not right for 40 years. It hasn't been right for 40 years.
They didn't take the majority. They took the few comments regarding to what they wanted.
Disney spent over $4 billion to buy the Star Wars franchise. And the audience really didn't, you know, make up for their expenditures.
No, it's because they went and did their own thing with it. If they turned around, left the creators in charge and said, look, we'll fund this, we'll give you more money, make us more money.
Oh, dude.
But no, they had to come in and say, we don't want this, we don't want that, we don't want this, you have to do this, you have to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, I swear to God.
They completely neglected George Lucas's ideas for the whole franchise.
I swear, seriously, if they were so bad, they would have turned around, you would have seen Coca-Cola in Star Wars.
Oh my God. Can you imagine? That would be hilarious.
We can't imagine, because basically, we've just seen what happens when a bunch of stupid twats get a hold of something that they just want to make money on, and they want to have complete control over it. Well, congratulations. Yeah. This is what you get, Disney.
Yeah, and they had like two different directors for three movies. They had no plan. They had no idea what the hell they were doing. And so I think this, like, their transition to streaming services, like, that's their way of trying to make up money so, like, they don't go completely bankrupt at this point. Like, that's probably their last resort. Because they messed up. They messed up bad with Star Wars. And they messed up really bad with Mulan.
Well, I like one of these live comments. I think we can summarize this as, become an SJW and lose all your fans.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's what happened. A lot of people, like, Disney messed up. And you know, like, you could kind of see it, as you were saying, Noble, earlier, that they were, like, running out of ideas. It's not a coincidence that they were just doing all these live-action remakes of previous movies. You know, like, The Lion King, The Jungle Book, Beauty and the Beast. Like, they just don't have any original ideas. And then when they buy a new franchise, they just completely ruin it.
Well, the article goes on to say, the Mouse House will not abandon cinemas, but its reorganization is an admission that theaters do not represent the future of the company, or perhaps of any Hollywood content company. Earlier this year, AT&T's Warner Media made a series of moves meant to boost its new streaming service, HBO Max. Comcast's NBC Universal, meanwhile, struck a deal with AMC Theaters to shorten the amount of time that a movie plays in theaters before it's allowed to be watched digitally. It is also interesting. It is also investing heavily in its own service, Peacock, like the NBC bird thing. All these moves position legacy media companies to compete more with Netflix, which is closing in on 200 million subscribers amid a record year of growth. While consumers can and do pay for multiple streaming services, a more robust Disney streaming service offering would pose a genuine threat to Netflix's continued growth around the world. It's another sign that Disney believes streaming is the biggest global growth opportunity moving forward, and that releasing big movies on Disney Plus instead of in theaters isn't only a pandemic-induced necessity. It's just what Disney does now.
Yep, that's exactly what I said when it comes to Netflix. That's what they're trying to do. I wonder how successful they're going to be. Who knows?
my God.
I don't know. I mean, what do you think?
Look, as long as they're still allowing movies to be put out in the cinema, that's a good thing. Especially when it comes to, well, cinemas.
Mm-hmm.
But shortening the amount of time, yeah, I'm sort of 50-50 on that, to be honest.
Yeah, well, anytime any kind of developer or whoever it is makes a film and puts it in cinema, the theater is going to take a cut of the profit of, like, you know, ticket sales and stuff like that. So if Disney does it directly, they're going to make more money by just, you know, streaming it directly to people instead of using a third party like a theater in order to do that. Now, of course, I don't think theaters are going to necessarily, like, be completely obsolete because, you know, people still want to go there, like, for the experience, for, like, you know, the atmosphere, all that. But Disney definitely does seem like it's trying to move in the direction of Netflix and, like, what they became. And that's what they're doing now. That's pretty wild.
Well, I'll say this much for myself. This is just myself, my personal opinion for myself and nobody else.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy to go on line and to watch things on streaming. I don't care for the movie theaters anymore because it literally cost $50 just to walk in. And where $50 buys you a couple of hours in a movie theater where, you know, children are jumping over you and people are texting and the air conditioner's on way too cold, I can spend that $50 and make a big dinner at my own house. I know where that food came from. I know how it was prepared, and I know how clean the kitchen was that it was prepared in. I could sit on a couch on my boxers, all comfortable. I can drink beer. I can drink some alcohol and not worry about a designated driver. It's for me personally, I'm more thrilled to stay at home now, seeing what the movie theaters have become. And that's just besides the point. I'm not even going to go into it too much. I've given up on all Hollywood. I've given up on anything new because it's all shoved in my face. We have to be inclusive of this. We have more diversity. Why are you changing Spider-Man? Why are you changing the Hulk? Why are you changing Marvel's superheroes? Why are you changing all... It didn't... Make a new character. Don't shit on my character.
Yeah, man. That's bad. What about what they did with the Avengers movie?
Make a new character. Make 10 new characters. Make them all different and diverse and this and that. I love them just the same. I'm not against the females. I'm not against the people of color. I just, why are you destroying what I grew up with?
Yeah, it's more about like how they completely change things. Like they blackwash things or like they gender swap or do whatever the hell.
We gotta have strong, empowered women in power. What was what's her name in the Terminator? What? Was that not a powerful woman? What was her name?
Sarah Connor.
Right. Yeah. How about Jamie Lee Curtis in all the Halloween movies, the Jason
Aaron
movies?
Brockovich.
Yeah.
Aaron Brockovich.
Alien, the original Alien movie.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. We have women empowered in these movies and things. Why are you taking my male characters and changing them into females to make a new character?
Yeah, well, here's the thing, dude. Like, I don't care, you know, what race or gender they are, as long as it's well-written and it's a great character. Like, it's an entertaining movie. Like, that's what it's all about. It's about entertainment.
Thank you.
Well, like, if they try to change other characters to make it more, like, politically correct or some stupid crap like that, like, that's going to make me not like it anymore. Like,
apparently, Iron Man wasn't a very big Marvel character originally, but when they starred the right actor, it basically became like the pedestal for everyone else to shine onto. Despite what, like, the Hulk was the first movie they actually made, was it?
I think so. Yeah, was that the one back in like 2003?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. They didn't use the same actor that they have now for him in Marvel, but it was starring him and the girl that was in whatever. I don't even remember the movie, but whatever.
Well, whatever. I mean, if you're a fan of Disney still, by all means, enjoy it. Personally, I'm not a fan of Disney anymore. I almost want to cancel Netflix, but my mom uses it constantly.
Well, I'm a fan of classic Netflix, Disney. You know, like Lion King and Robin Hood and
Lion King, Robin Hood, Sleeping Beauty, Snow White.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah.
Toy Story, even.
Yeah.
Yeah, like. So I'll still watch that. But what they're coming out with right now? Nah, man, that's not my thing.
Well,
they ran out of ideas a long time ago.
We just surpassed 1 hour in our stream. So I think we're going to close it out on a very high note, because I just received something from one of our good friends. This is more or less what our good friend is doing right now.
Hey! Hope he doesn't get wet.
For those of you who can't see this and are just listening, this is Jolt in his fluffy purple adorableness, and he seems to be in the middle of a bug or something.
Yeah, it looks like he's at the edge of a lake.
I don't know how we got there, but pond. Yeah.
Squirrels jump, I guess.
Yes, indeed.
Very agile little creatures. But yes, look at that. He says hello from his adventure right now.
Well, hello, buddy.
Don't forget the nuts.
It looks like you're having an awesome time. And what a beautiful scene, too.
Right.
Just don't go there for the mosquitoes.
Oh, God, no. So, anyways, I think we can... let's close this on a very positive note. Hey, Jolt. Hi.
Just remember, everyone, if you want to bury your head in the sand, make sure you take a good snorkel with you.
Yes. Very good. Good idea.
All right. I guess that does it. You can find us on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, BitChute, and more, quite possibly more later on. This is Inu, this is Noble, and this is Avera saying howdy ho from the Raiders Rambles. We'll see you next time.
Laters.
Howdy ho. Have a good night.
Diddly doo.